Hi, I'm Claire Dash, and I'm talking about the 10 faces of trauma. And today I want to talk about self-criticism, that inner critic that always nagging away at judging us. So many of us face this. I mean, how many people do you know who are actually really hearing positive self-talk inside their heads? And I think this is coming from trauma. Different levels of trauma that make us force us to believe certain things that we needed to do when we felt under threat. This is coming through from collective experience of trauma, particularly for women, about how we look and how we can't be our unique self. And I'm coming to the conclusion that we can be our unique self. You know, there is no other person out there that is like you. Your brain, your makeup, your experiences, your genes, your history, your uniqueness as a human being. There is nobody out there like you. So why can't you be that you and just be you without this constant judgment that's going on, criticizing how I said this, how I looked in that, what I did there, that this judgment has come from the pressure of society that's forcing and creating this patriarchal view about how women should be, and that we're not fitting the mold. But it's also coming from our personal trauma. And this is what I really wanted to highlight today. I've understood from doing parts work that there are parts of me that are talking in my mind that are telling me certain things that maybe I don't do that well. I'm a failure at this. I'm stupid doing that. It's useless to even think that because I'm such a this or that. And we think of each of these as parts of us who have some belief that comes from a time when they needed that belief in order to be safe. We can start to unpack this. There's so many people out there are saying you counter a self-criticism with a positive talk. And this affirmation movement that came about over the last 30 years, that say positive affirmations often enough and you'll just believe them. I don't think that's enough. I think usually we can get to that point after we've done some inner work and we're at a place where we've kind of cleared out a lot of our trauma. But before we've done our trauma work, it's not going to help if we just keep saying affirmations to ourselves because they're just going to stay in there within the mix of all the parts of us that are saying the things that don't feel so positive. So what happens when there's a voice in our head that says, you're useless? Those actual words may have been spoken to you, and you took them in because it felt threatening not to. And that's how we can see this negative self-talk that's coming from trauma. Because what happens when we're little and we don't have the resources to cope, particularly before the ages of seven, we don't have the intellectual ability to make sense of the crazy things that are said and expected of us in this Western society, things that are contradictory, things that are paradoxical. When we are faced with something that we can't understand, we just take on what seems the safest route. And if this is a time when we were physically threatened, it felt like a threat, then we're going to be traumatized by it. So, say for instance, a little girl cannot do her shoelaces. She's really struggling with tying the laces up, getting her shoes on, and getting out of the door on time. And the parent says, you're useless. And that is not going to help her tie her shoelaces any quicker or more confidently. But what it is going to do is it's going to start penetrating her doubt about her ability to do that. So if there's pressure on there to get to school on time and someone is saying you're useless, you can't do your shoelaces, then that combination there is going to feel threatening. And so a part of us can form that says, I'm useless. This is why I have these problems. It's because I'm useless. And those words, they may have only been said once or twice by a parent, a caregiver, a teacher, or someone with some authority in our life, but they were said in the context of us feeling threatened. We didn't feel safe enough to say, I'm not useless. I'm just learning. I'm only a child. It takes time to learn how to do my shoelaces. And then there can be multiple experiences like this. So that part of us that heard the I'm useless takes that on. Well, no wonder I can't do my shoelaces. I am useless. And it becomes a truth. It becomes a core belief that part needs to believe in order to stop the fear of feeling threatened. So we can have this experience that goes on in us where parts of us have beliefs that carry on through our lives. And unless we work with them and challenge them, they'll remain within our context, particularly if we're feeling triggered. So maybe we're stressing to meet a deadline and at work, and the stress is building. And that becomes a trigger for us. And we go, oh, I just can't do this. I'm useless. And those words of 40 years ago come back because we haven't healed that time when we couldn't tie our shoelaces and we were so shamed and we were threatened, so that we heard the words, I'm useless, and took them on. So what I'm saying is that there's a sort of process that goes through when we are hurt as a child, when we don't have the support for that, when we don't have the resources, when it dysregulates us. Those experiences are crucial in our life, and we can have hundreds of them. And each one can create a different way of coping, a different way to make sense of that. And some of those ways of coping may come from the role models in our lives. You know, if we've had parents that are fighting, or siblings that are fighting, or teachers that have high expectations that are unrealistic. These kinds of things can be the role models that our child parts take on as words that then become entrenched in our experience, in our history. So the way to understand self-criticism is to stop and go, oh, I hear myself saying I'm useless. Oh, what part of me really believes that? And if you can take the time in that moment to stop and begin to have a dialogue with that part and ask them, well, why do I need to believe this? Why do you think it's true? Because that part thinks it's true. You might have a whole other parts of you who don't, but that part is coming in and taking over because of the fear and the stress of that moment. And they think it's true, and therefore they're bringing it to the now, and we begin to think it's true. But when we can stop and listen to the fear in there, just calm our body back down again and take some time to talk to that part about, where did you get this idea from? Why are you telling me that I'm useless? And they can tell you about the memory, or they can share something, or there can be some way that you can connect to that part and show them they're no longer in danger. They're no longer under threat. That you got this. That it's okay to be your unique self. And that you can celebrate being different and taking your time and learning how to do it your way. I hope that helps. Lots of love.